We were driving down the street one day, heading toward the congregation I then served. It was a street I drove down often, my usual route to the office. "When did that building go in?" I asked. "It's been there about 20 years," Jim responded. While my first reaction was to wonder if he was just trying to confuse me, I finally settled on the reality that he was right. It wasn't the first time I'd seen it. To the contrary, I had driven past it almost daily for years. And yet, while it had been there all along, it was the first time I really saw it. The first time I put any energy into paying attention to it. The reality is there is so much in this world we miss if we aren't looking for it. You need only to buy a new vehicle to experience this, right? When you sign the paperwork at the car dealership, you feel lucky to have discovered this wonderful make and model of car. But then within a few days, have you all had this experience? You realize everybody else knew about this car first. You are suddenly aware of how many people drive that same vehicle. And it's not just buildings and cars that we sometimes miss. It is also the presence of God who shows up in so many ways and times and places, but from whom we are too often distracted. Today's text is an interesting one. Part of what makes it interesting is that we read verses 32 through 40. This is the way the lectionary, the list of scripture readings that are set aside for each Sunday, has divided out this reading. And for many of us, if we're paying attention, or especially if we open our Bible to read along, it seems like an interesting choice, because we're used to reading from various publications of the Bible that have added in paragraphs and breaks and headings where the original language did not have them. So typically, when we hear those first few verses that we started out with, we read them as connected to what comes before. And we might remember what that is. Earlier in chapter 12, we hear that story of the man who's accumulated so much, he doesn't know what to do with it. So he decides, you remember we talked about that one recently, he'll tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And then after that, if we were to continue reading, is Jesus' subsequent reminder not to worry. Then we usually hear verses 32 through 34 as words that close out that section, words that conclude Jesus' teachings on greed and worry. So in our typical reading, we hear those passages, and then we hear where Dale started us today. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Typically, we end a reading there, and then we move on to this story about slaves being ready even in the middle of the night when their master returns home. And typically, when we do that, we really do move on. We read as if it is unconnected to what came before. We start at 35, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit." And we read it and we hear it as if it's a new topic, as if it's a change in direction. Specifically, we've been trained to hear it as if it is about Jesus' return or our meeting God in heaven at the time of our deaths. So we traditionally have heard this as a warning that we'd better be ready, that we'd better get our hearts and our souls and our lives in order so that when we meet Jesus, we will have earned the heavenly prize. So I find myself glad that the lectionary cuts this reading the way it does, and that it, instead of letting us just pick up with be dressed for action, that it includes 32 through 34 as the beginning of this passage. Because what that does is that builds a bridge back to Jesus's earlier words and keeps us connected to them. And in doing so, it causes us to hear this passage about readiness differently. It reminds us that being ready to receive the gifts of God is not separate from our experiences of worry and greed, of possessions and treasure. Rather, these are very often the things that get in the way of our being ready for and looking for God. These are the very things, among others, that keep us distracted. I also appreciate the way the lectionary puts verses 32 to 40 together, because it seems that in our traditional reading of this text, we are too eager to hear this as warning rather than as invitation. But hearing all these verses together makes that harder to do. As Audrey West writes, the consistent message through this passage is not be ready so that you will avoid punishment, but rather be ready so that you will receive blessing. This is important for us to hear. It is important to hear because we good church people are often hesitant to truly accept grace, to truly believe that God loves us even amidst our faults and failings, to truly believe that we don't have to earn God's love in order to experience it. And it is important for us to hear because even we good, welcoming, loving people all too often act as bouncers, keeping people out rather than as ushers, welcoming people in. We all too often set up barriers that keep people from feeling welcome, whether that's in the church or in the kingdom of God, rather than throwing wide open the doors of welcome. So what would happen if we would really listen to what Luke tells us Jesus said? What would happen if we internalized not the fear that we won't be ready, that we'll be asleep or unprepared or simply not good enough for God to love us, but what if we instead heard what verse 32 says, that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom? What if we instead heard what verses 37 and 38 tell us, that when God shows up, it isn't for punishment or to sit us down as if we've been called into the heavenly principal's office, but rather God is showing up to serve us and to set a bounty of goodness before us to take care of us? Over the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about some common temptations, those things we too often give into, sometimes without even realizing it, that separate us from God and neighbor. Specifically, we've talked about that temptation to walk by, to not pay attention to the needs of those around us, or to notice those needs, but instead to choose our own security or our own schedules or our own bigotries instead of responding. And we've talked about the temptation of greed, the temptation to think only of ourselves when we consider how we use the resources that are at our disposal, the temptation to let what we own and what we strive for get in the way of our relationships with God and people. The reality is that these, as well as other common temptations, are among the things that keep us so entangled, so distracted, that we miss the presence of God right here with us. So often, our fear, our selfishness, our addiction to stuff and money and power, our inability or unwillingness to put ourselves in another's shoes, these things so often distract us in such ways that just as I drove past that little building for years without taking note, we can glide right past the presence of God in our midst. And isn't it funny? Here we are in a world where there are many options about how we spend our Sunday mornings, but here we are choosing to be part of a worshiping community, choosing to say with how we use our time that we are seeking the presence of God. And yet, how many times have we been so distracted by our own busy schedules, by our own priorities, by the energy it takes to accumulate and then protect what we have accumulated, by our own bigotries and prejudices, by our own desires? How often have we been distracted by these very things that we haven't even noticed? The God who is showing up and wanting to give us more goodness than we can even imagine. So what do we do? How do we stay alert and ready to notice God? Well, I suspect none of you will be surprised to hear me say that there is no one simple formula, but there are certainly some practices we can embrace. What would happen if we slowed down? If we simply took time to pay attention to the people and world around us? To stop and smell the roses, as they say. To pause and watch a child at play. To step away from the task of pulling out the weeds in our yard and talk to a neighbor. To strike up a conversation in the checkout line. To ask a question and then really listen to the answer. And what would happen if we took time to pray? Not only the prayers that we pray together in church, but to sit in silence and simply see what pops up. To make lists of things for which we are grateful. To read scripture, not to be the smartest person in the room or to prepare for a lesson, but to read scripture to simply notice what we might have read past before. To pause before we react, especially when we are scared or angry, and to seek God's presence in that moment. To pray with our hands and our feet, and to meet people where they are. And And what would happen if we made a commitment not to be perfect, but to live with intention in the ways of Jesus? What if we chose to love our neighbors in active ways, even when it would be easier not to? What if we chose to share what we have, even when we are surrounded by messages of accumulation? What if we chose to create space for people who are new or different or pushed aside? Space not just to sit quietly in the back, but space to be real and to share their stories and to help make us better. All of these are about making room for God. They are about readying our hearts and our lives to welcome God's presence. They are about being ready to receive the gifts of goodness that God so eagerly wants to share. And so I invite us to pray together, a prayer of confession, as we recognize that we have been distracted and as we strive to live our lives open to God's presence. As we pray, when you hear me say, too often we have been distracted from you, I invite you to respond, forgive us, O God. Let us pray. God, there are so many things in this world vying for our attention. And often it is the loudest, the brightest, the biggest, the most demanding that we turn to. Yet today we acknowledge that often you are in the small, the quiet, the still, the weak, the different. Help us to pay attention and to be on the lookout for you, because too often we have been distracted from you. Forgive us, O God. God, we acknowledge that sometimes it's not even that we don't notice you, but sometimes we don't want to notice. Sometimes we turn away because you ask us to do what is right, and what is right is often not easy. Sometimes we turn away because you ask us to care for our neighbors, and we would rather invest only in ourselves. And so we acknowledge that too often, even by choice, we have been distracted from you. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O God, and shape us to have eyes ready to see when you show up, ears ready to hear your call to compassion, lives ready for you, that we might receive and share the bountiful gifts of your goodness. Amen.